Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni v intervju Radija Študent. Z vami tokrat Jaka Špiler, oziroma pripravil sem intervju Jaka Špiler. Pogovarjali pa smo se z The No Twist, ki danes večer nastopajo v Channel Zero. In sicer na drugi strani mikrofona sta bila pred parimi urami, pred tonsko vajo, brata Markus in Mihael Acher, soustanovitelja benda, no pa kar prisluhnemo, kaj sta nam kaj povedala.
Okay, to begin with, tell us a little bit about your musical upbringing, and I mean both as listeners and as performers.
Oh, when we when we grew up, we listened to a lot of old-time jazz. That's the records my father had. He was listening to old-time jazz all the time, yeah, Dixieland, this kind of stuff. And then, and also some Bavarian music, because he played in a Bavarian brass band. I think, and then we started to listen to our own music, which was mainly English or American pop music. Uh-huh. And more we got our own taste, and then we played in the, or still play in the Dixieland band of our father. And then we had our own bands, all kinds of bands, from punk rock to jazz, electronic, I don't know, all kinds of bands.
But given that you come from a small town, was it difficult for you as a kid to get a hand on some fresh, interesting music, or how did that came about?
There was not so much concerts in Valdemar, you know, it was a really small town, so we had to drive to Munich or somewhere else to listen to concerts, so it was not possible in our town. But, you know, we were very interested to some concerts, so we traveled a lot to the other cities to see other bands, you know, and in a way, because there were no concerts in our city, we Markus and his friends organized concerts in our city where he invited bands to play there, and it was, we tried to do it, that we like it in our small town. So.
Was that already some internationally acclaimed bands, or
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it was Smog, for example, and Motorcycle, Kaichi Haino from Japan, and Ariel M, bands from New Zealand, all kinds of bands.
Wow.
So really small, really in a small town and in a really small club.
But there was, it sounds like there was some local scenes, and you were an important part of it since the very beginning or so.
Yeah, the scene was really small, it was just a few people, but for a while it was really good and interesting. So all the people played in different bands, and there were parties, and and concerts and everything. It was good.
How old were you at that time, approximately, when you started doing this, making shows and...
17, 16, 17, something like this.
Wow. And at that time you already had some bands, I'd reckon. You've also played in some bands, I mean.
Yeah, we played in bands for a long time before also. In like the, you know, bands you have when you are in school, we played this sort of jazz, funk, Police, I don't know,
Chuck Mangione,
horrible music. But then we had
So if you stick a little more at these youth years of yours, could you name us a few bands or maybe musical scenes that were really, for you, a kind of music life changer, or if you know what I'm asking?
Dinosaur Jr., definitely. Then Vipers for me, and Dead Kennedys, yes, was really Kennedys and
Slint,
yeah, these kind of bands that we got, you know, we ordered by mail order from, because you couldn't buy it in Weilheim, of course, and so all these kinds of bands, yeah, but also Motorhead, I don't know, Metallica, Justice for All, Slayer, whatever, everything that was wrong, yeah, that was fast and loud and distorted.
So the Notwist actually has also started
as a...
Lahko, samo malo.
Pogovarjajte, stari moj, vse naprej. Lahko je bolj še malo poslušam, ajde.
Lahko, ampak daj poslušaj, lepo prosim, ok? Hvala. So I was saying you also started with Notwist, you also started playing heavier guitar music. But unlike the bands that you've mentioned before, as the bands that you were also looking up to in a way, in a musical way, I guess, all this early 90s and late 80s alternative rock scene was actually really stuck in this sound, you know, even as time went on. But you, on the other hand, never seem to have troubles with changing music styles. So, weren't you afraid of losing your initial fan base in a way? And while deciding to explore new musical worlds, did you ever have doubts in terms of staying true to your musical past?
No, we weren't afraid. The thing is, you know, we just wanted to be... wanted to make music that we would have to... would listen to ourselves, you know. And our taste changed, or it got more diverse, so we got interested in more and more different music. And so... that's why we couldn't stay with this one thing and then at home listen to something different, you know, that would be, would have been strange, feel strange. So, and there were some people, some old fans that didn't like the changes, but it wasn't really bad.
There were some new, you lose fans anyway, you know.
Lepo prosim, ne.
Samo, da je ful v celici piva zelo draga,
Ok, v redu, pripomba. Dobro, bomo. But from the very beginning of the, from the very beginnings of the band Notwist, something have stayed there until present days, and this is the English lyrics. So what was the idea behind this decision, which was pulled in the day one of the band Notwist, I guess?
Oh, there was no special idea. It was because every music I was listening to, or we were listening to, was in English, you know, sung in English, so... and all the bands that sung in German at that time weren't really... were really terrible, you know. So we just didn't think too much. Had to be in English, but after a while it was just sounded better and fit better to the music, and I think it's also easier for me to express something, you know, with this sort of translation into something different. So it's very important to make it abstract, more abstract.
But the initial ideas that you have about the things that you want to put in your lyrics are like, is it German language thinking and then translating into English, or?
No, it's both. I start with certain words sometimes that just come to my mind without thinking too much, and then I start to build a story around this, or a picture, or whatever. Uh-huh. And I think it's more about expressing something that doesn't have to do something with words, actually, you know. So it's more like trying to get some picture or feeling and then trying to express it, and then I don't think it. In German, it's just try to find the right words, you know. Mm.
Well, the present year, that is 2014, also marks the 25th anniversary of the Nordwist. And looking back from the distance at this long period of time, do all the things you've made and the decisions that you've pulled still make complete sense? Or maybe are there any things you'd wish you'd done differently?
For sure, you know, you always learn something if you do it a really long time, you know. I think, but musically, every decision was right in a way, and I think now we're in the good position to have only nice people around us, you know. And if you do music for 25 years, you meet a lot of strange people and people you don't want to work with, and so. But we are in the position that every stupid person is not with us anymore, so it's really good, and I think it's the best situation now, right now, and we also learned really much.
What about this maybe earlier period, so before, I guess, album Shrink, how was it for you back then as a band? Did you get a lot of opportunities, I mean, in terms of distribution of your records, in terms of getting opportunities to play, to present yourself live? Was it more of a uncertain DIY kind of period, or was it already organized machinery, tours and everything?
The early days?
Yeah, I mean up to, let's say, 96 or 97.
It was not organized.
Really not, no. It was.
And no machinery at all.
No, we did our music and wanted to play and try to play wherever we can play. And it was, in a way, totally chaos. And
We had an agency quite early, but also we wrote letters and made phone calls to maybe support an American band. Drove with our own bus, you know, that was broken.
Hey, it's a foot.
Never got any money, so it was all playing in squats and small youth hostels and stuff like this. So it was very unorganized, everything, in the beginning till, yeah, a very long time.
I think the first 10 years were totally like it's normal for unknown small band from Bavaria. It was difficult and complicated and unorganized.
But later on, in the late 90s and the beginnings of 2000s, You've had a few videos that accompanied some of your more catchy or poppy songs, if you wish, that you also produced in that period. And they got quite some airtime on TV stations like MTV Europe and Viva. This is also the period that I actually first heard of your band. Mm-hmm. But in the coming years, after a relatively huge success of the album Shrink and especially Neon Golden, it seemed like you don't really have the urge to capitalize on this success in any way. Could you give us a little comment on that and maybe describe us that period of time?
You know, with the videos, it was there was the time when you had these music channels where you could watch videos. So that's we were interested in videos, but only if we are not seen in the videos and if they tell a story. That was kind of the things we wanted to happen with videos. And yeah, we still try to be independent and you know, it was difficult with the record label at that time, so I don't remember too much. The record label was, Big Store was difficult record label, so.
They wanted to push you more out to the towards the mainstream or other difficulties?
No, they just to say politely, they totally fucked up.
So this non-capitalizing, potential capitalizing of this relative success that you had on the step towards new millennia was a deliberate pause and was a byproduct of circumstances that have accompanied you as individuals and as a band. Do you feel that the post 2000 era, the new media era also in music business, had a significant impact on your music career? I mean, both in good way or in bad way?
Both in good way and in bad way, you know. So it's very good for us now, very much people listen to our music through the whole world. You can play in places where you never would sell any CD or vinyl, you know. But you, because of the internet, you have the possibility to reach people. That's really great. We played in India or in Mexico, and we would never have played there if there were not internet and the possibility to listen to our music worldwide, you know. And in bad ways is that you do not sell any or not so much CDs, and that's, you know, it's financial not good, but we can play very much, and that's in this way it works for us okay, so, you know.
So what about in general, what's your opinion on nowadays music distribution and especially the consumer listening habits for which the foundations were also laid around 2000? Do you feel there are more cons or more pros?
I think it's kind of it's a time now where you can't really tell. I think it's more cons and then I think it's more pros. I don't know. How Micha said, it's really hard to live on music now, and that gets harder, and that's the really big bad thing about it. So, and but there's, you know, it's, I think, but on the other hand, people start to buy vinyl again a lot, so that's another tendency you wouldn't have thought of like a few years ago, you know. Nobody would have thought that all of a sudden people buy a lot of vinyl, and with our new record, you know, at least in Germany, they sold a lot of vinyl copies, you know, really a lot, more than anybody thought. And that's, so, you know, you never know where it goes, and I think, I hope that people still recognize that it's important for a musician to have time to make music, you know? And you only have time if you don't have to work all the time. So, because if you have to work all the time for just staying alive and paying your rent, then it's hard to make music most of the time. So, but I don't know. It's, you know, we will see.
So how do you support and enjoy other people's music today? And I mean, do you still buy and listen to physical copies, or have the computers taken the main role in this sense? I mean, I'm asking you as a listener and as a supporter of music.
For me personally, you know, I go in every city, I go to the record stores and look for records. And, but we also all look on the internet and listen a lot to new bands. Of course, that's very the internet is the best source to find new interesting music. So I think it's both, but we all have a, you know, we come from a time where there were just records and then there were CDs, but we still appreciate a good looking and you know, record with a good artwork and everything, so that's always a very important part, you know.
So you both have already been here in a record shop since you are in Ljubljana?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Since you've arrived? Yeah. And what have you bought?
I bought this dub record, which is called Itel Dub, you know, Vital Dub from the, you know, it's Lion Robbie, it's the Fleck Jamaican dub record. That's really, yeah, something, I know this record from for a long time, but I never found, I didn't buy it so far, so that's really good. And yeah, me and Jeff, we've been to 3 record stores.
So you still also listen to the records in an old school manner? I mean, putting on the record, pressing play, and just leaving it there and listening?
Yes.
Yes.
Some of them, not every record. I buy so many records. Some of them I buy for also just sampling, or, you know, so we have lots of records in the studio too, and I play with records on stage too, so some of them are just because they look interesting, or there are some sounds on it that maybe one day in 5 years there will be the one moment where you need exactly this sound, so that's a part of the collecting things. And then there's records I buy because I think I want to have it, and then I never listen to them. But there's many records I listen to a lot.
Could you name a few artists or music scenes that you've been paying special attention to lately?
Um, Yeah, I liked a lot some new hip hop records, actually. Jeff's new record with supporting us, Chell, and then the Young Fathers. It's on the same label, and stuff on Stone's Throw, the label, and Madlib, the guy, and all these kinds of. I listened to a lot last months. And Joazinho, that's a band from Munich, and Aloha Input is a band from Munich. Fenster is a band from Berlin, they're really great.
Last time I listened very much to New Orleans music and bands from there. Yeah, last things I listened was Tuba Skinny or old stuff.
There's another thing concerning the computer technology I would like to ask both of you, actually. Do you in general find the availability and does the democratization of otherwise hard to get and expensive music making tools something good or something not so good? The availability of computer technology, which is of course supporting a lot of people may use it as a music making tool. Do you find it in general, this democratization of these tools, so that everybody, in cap sizes, everybody can make music nowadays? Do you find it something good or something not so good?
Something good, it's really good. I don't see any bad thing about it. You know, there's more music. There's, of course, more music now, maybe that wouldn't have been made years ago. That's not so good. You know, they're like really bad music, but I think it's really good because, you know, people can record at home and make their own records and make them available for really cheap. You know, the expensive studios, it was something that was really hard, made it hard for many bands to make a record. Now it's really easy. Everybody can make it, and you know there's so much great new bands and new music. People, you know, that just record on their own with computer equipment. I think this would be really good.
I think it's good that people who did not learn any instrument or anything have the possibility to make music. It's great. There are a lot of really interesting music can be composed, you know, if you have not learned any instrument or anything. You just do it by intuition. So it's I think it's really good.
Do you use a lot of computers when making music?
Yeah, for sure. We record everything on computer, or mainly on computer, and everybody of us is composing his songs not only on the computer but with the computer, you know, just to play for the rest of the band how we think it could sound or what it could sound like, you know. So that's a we use it very often.
But you still, of course, use some equipment that that you bought and still have from years.
Yeah, we use lots of analog equipment too. Lots of instruments and recording equipment and old microphones and keyboards and whatever.
But you do everything yourself?
We do a lot of the stuff ourselves, but we have, for making a record, we have all like the notice, the album we just did. We have a guy who is who helps us recording or who records us and who mixed everything.
No, na tej točki je žal zatajila snemalna tehnologija, tako da bom skušal povzeti v parih besedah še kaj, kjer je vprašanje oziroma pač kaj smo se pogovarjali še do konca intervjuja. Zanimalo me je seveda, kaj lahko pač pričakujemo od nocojšnjega nastopa oziroma tudi pač na splošno, pač kako oni kaj gledajo na to razmerje med ustvarjanjem glasbe in po ustvarjanjem glasbe na odru. Sploh glede na to, da je zadnji album, no pa tudi prejšnji seveda albumi od No Twist, da imajo ogromno nekih takih detajliranih in analognih in elektronskih zvokov, ki pridejo do izraza bolj v kvalitetnih poslušalnicah, in kako pač oni to seveda prenašajo potem na oder, pa sta mi Markus in Mihael odgovorila, da nasploh pač vidijo oni ta dva procesa, se pravi ustvarjanje in pa ustvarjanje glasbe kot dva ločena procesa, da tudi v studiju, ko pripravljajo novo ploščo, da vsejen gledajo, mislim, da vsejen pač so v bistvu bolj, bi rekel, komponerji, no, torej, da imajo neko idejo, ki jo potem skušajo realizirati, kot pa, da bi bili nek jam band, ki bi preprosto samo igrali in potem pač lovili neke trenutke, ki so se jim zdeli zabavni, ne, in na tak način tudi potem, ko naredijo nek studijski izdelek, se potem odprejo novo poglavje in sicer kako zdaj to prirediti tudi za neko ustrezno živo nastopanje, in trenutno pač zasedba No Twist, živa zasedba No Twist šteje 6 glasbenikov, tako da je vseeno pač je pač kar nekaj, bi rekel, kar nekaj ljudi, ki lahko sprožajo različne glasbene oziroma zvočne dogodke, tako da imajo ogromno inštrumentov različnih, ki jih igrajo in na katerih rotirajo med samim koncertom, tako da v tem smislu pač se nam zagotovo obeta ena zelo pestra živa izkušnja. No, čist na koncu sem jo poprosil še, da pač nas vljudno povabita na oziroma pač vas poslušalce, ki ste trenutno za tranzistori in poslušate Radio Študent, da nas povabite na večerni koncert in s tem naj tudi zaključim intervju. Skratka, še enkrat lepo vabljeni ob 9 zvečer v Channel Zero, kjer se nam obeta en super, super koncert, zelo, zelo, zelo zanimive skupine The No Twist. Nastopajo pa sicer še skupaj z Gel, ki pa se giblje bolj v vodah abstraktnega hip-hopa. Naj bo to za danes v intervju Radija Študent vse. Z vami sem bil Jaka Špiler. Hvala in nasvidenje.
Intervju Radija Študent.